Hey, sports fans. This is Jeff Kane, the voice of the Patriots Beat podcast here on CLNS Radio. I've got a question for you. Are you tired of spending a fortune on tickets and feeling like you got ripped off? Well, we have you covered over here at TickIQ.com. Hey, sports fans. This is Jeff Kane, the voice of the Patriots Beat podcast here on CLNS Radio. I've got a question for you. Are you tired of spending a fortune on tickets and feeling like you got ripped off? Well, we have you covered over here at TickIQ.com for all your ticketing needs. TickIQ, T-I-Q-I-Q, is a leading ticket aggregator, providing fans a one-stop shop to browse the best deals from all ticket sites so you don't have to worry about finding the best seats for the game or concert. Get your tickets for the Patriots all season long. TickIQ.com, where you will find the best prices in the market. Use the promo code CLNS for 5% off your IQ certified or TNT tickets listing at TickIQ. That's TickIQ.com. The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386. Well, hello once again, Patriots fans, and welcome to another edition of the Patriots Postgame Show here on the CLNS radio station. I am your host, Jeff Kane, at Boston Fat Guy on Twitter. Joining me tonight is Bill Bodell. Call-in number for guests, 929-477-2386. The New England Patriots victorious in the all-important third preseason game as they go ahead and are victorious 17-16 over the Carolina Panthers. Not exactly pretty. The Patriots' offense was quite dreadful up until the two-minute drill, but the defense held its own. Bend but don't break. Did well, did some good things out there. Tom Brady struggled a little bit, two interceptions to start the game before throwing a beautiful touch pass to Chandler in the corner of the end zone. Jimmy Garoppolo came back in, and once again, down 16-7, he led them back for the victory. Patriots proved a 2-1 on the preseason, but no one really cares about records in preseasons. It's all about staying healthy and being all right, and the Patriots looked to be okay until James Devlin got hurt. But it's part of the breaks. We'll see what happens. Looked like a broken ankle to me. Things will happen as they go on. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Bill Bodell. Billy, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. You know, saw some good things tonight, saw some bad. Like you said, the offense is very ugly out there.
Let's talk a little bit about this game because it started out very slow for both teams as, neither team could really get much going on the offensive side of the ball. The Carolina Panthers were able to kind of move down the field, but the Patriots defense stopped them. Some pretty nice things I'm seeing coming out of the defensive line. What are your thoughts right there?
Yeah, you know, defensive line's been playing great pass rush so far with Chandler Jones and Jabal Sheard on the outside. I'm loving the Jabal Sheard signings so far. He's, you know, if he can contribute like this in the regular season, it's going to be a fantastic signing. He's getting in pretty much on every play.
Yeah, he's standing up. He's got his hand down. He's moving all over the field. On that fourth down stop, they had it in a 3-4. Doing some really nice things. Both Jabal Sheard, Chandler Jones has been great. I loved what I saw out of Trey Flowers tonight. Really loved what I saw out of second-year player Dominic Easley. He's starting to look like he's getting his legs underneath him.
Yeah, Eagles been playing better tonight. He had that sack on Newton. Didn't think he was going to get him at first. Ended up bringing him down. Ended up getting bringing good pass rush from the inside, which is valuable, especially when you have guys like Chandler Jones drawing double teams on the outside. If Easley can get his legs underneath him, like you said, and just penetrate the middle, it's going to be just better.
Patriots fans, what we want to know right now is your thoughts on this game as the New England Patriots win 17-16. You can tweet at us at CLNS Radio as well as at Patriots Beat or at the CLNS Pat Post GM. We'll get a hold of you there. Bill, you dropped out there for a second. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
There you go.
But,
that's all right. These things can happen.
Beard and Flowers, but both and Chandler Jones, all three of those guys playing well. There are times that we are running four-man fronts of Ninkovic, Sheard, Jones, and Flowers. So a lot of speed out there, a lot of being able to get to the passer. So if we can do that a lot of times, that'll be very good. Force guys outside the pocket, rush throws, which helps the secondary out a lot.
Oh, definitely helps the secondary out an awful lot. Another game, another solid game for Malcolm Butler, the Super Bowl hero. He was beat one time, which would have been for a sure touchdown if not for the Carolina Panthers player dropping the ball. But other than that, he looked pretty good. And also Terrell Brown showed up making some decent plays.
Yeah, I was impressed with Brown. Happy to see him out there on the field, seeing him, maybe looking like he's going to be that number two corner spot. We've seen Logan Ryan struggle throughout camp and preseason so far. Bradley Fletcher being consistent, same with McLean. So having him really step up and solidify that is definitely good for the secondary.
Now let's switch it off to the offensive side of the ball a little bit here. Another week, another struggle for the beginning of the offense. Tom Brady, of course, did not do much until that second two-minute drill offense that worked pretty well. Jonas Gray and the offensive line couldn't get much moving. And I really want to know this. Why is Brandon Bolden on the field ever?
I was thinking the same thing as you, Jeff. He's a great special teams player, great on returning, just being deaf on the special teams, but he's not an offensive player. He doesn't have amazing speed, agility, acceleration. He doesn't Blount get him miss week one. Get him out there, get him, just get him up to date after missing some time with injury also.
Here's the thing that I want to know here is, with Blount out and everyone talks about the big back and the catching back, why do we need a big back out there? I mean, I look at this team and, they've always had a downhill runner, whether that be Antoine Smith or Corey Dillon. They tried it with Lawrence Maroney. That didn't work out very well, but then they had Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and even Stephen Ridley, he wasn't a very big player. I don't understand why they can't get a guy like James White to get in there and play a little more. He didn't get much playing time tonight. Looking like Deion Lewis is going to start to definitely be that third down back. So, but why do they need the big back?
Yeah, Jeff, it's a question we can't really tough to answer. It must be someone Belichick likes running schematically. A lot of the times, bigger backs haven't fumbled the ball as much, besides Stephen Ridley. A lot of those guys haven't had problems holding onto the ball, which is something that Belichick obviously loves. Don't give the ball over, hold on to it, more possessions on offense, more times to score. But, Deion Lewis, he was looking shifty out there, making some great moves. Definitely looked like he's, leading that chart for that def for the number one running third down spot right now. So didn't see James White out there much. Lewis had a good game tonight and last week, so looks like he's kind of pushing himself for that spot.
No, definitely. We've had a long line of great third down backs in the Patriots system here, going back to Kevin Falk, back getting drafted in 1999, followed up by Danny Woodhead, and then, of course, Shane Vereen after that. Deion Lewis reminds me a lot of Danny Woodhead. Gets a little something out of nothing. He's short. He's 5'8". He's only about 190 pounds. He's able to maneuver his way through that line, and you saw it tonight on a couple of draw plays, and that's one of the things that was kind of missing on the Patriots' offense last year was the draw plays, the draw plays to the running backs and the screen plays, and we've seen that happen the last 2 weeks with Deion Lewis.
Yeah, he definitely brings something back, you know, which the team has been missing the past few years with Vereen back there. Vereen was a great third down back, but he was more split out, you know, split out in a wide receiver role or running wheel routes and doing that stuff to get open. But, you know, having Lewis, you know, with weak offensive line play like tonight, being able to just make it a little something out of nothing and screen passes is always good. It helps open up the passing game as well. And then just the draws are always just the little quick draws, also a switch up. You know, when you're in shotgun, a lot of times teams thinking you gotta throw the ball. You could add a good run game to it. Just, you know, switches things up, keeps the defense on alarm.
Exactly. And while they did try the draw play earlier in the game with Brandon Bolden, and Deion Lewis was against, you know, some second-tier players, it still made a whole difference watching the difference between Deion Lewis running that draw play and Brandon Bolden. I'm sorry, Bill Belichick is a genius as far as I'm concerned. He is the best coach that was ever out there. But really, sometimes I look at his love for special teams players, and that's what Brandon Bolden is. And he puts them in there because in practice he showed a little bit of time catching the ball and this and that. Listen, Bill, you already got Matthew Slater on this team. He's your special teams. You got a guy in Joe Cardona who you drafted in the fifth round. Nate Ebner is probably going to make this team as a special teams player. You don't need Brandon Bolden on this team as a running back and special teams player. I know he made some plays last year. He had a block punt. He made a tackle, strip fumble that Kyle Arrington ran in for a touchdown. But this other guy can do this. This guy is taking a valuable roster spot, and he cannot compete and be a good every down player. He does nothing well on the offensive side of the ball. People will sit there and say, well, you know, a couple years ago, he touched the ball a lot when Shane Vereen was hurt. And, you know, he had a 5.5 yards per carry. Well, that was for two huge runs for 79 yards between them. You take those out, and he goes down to a 2.9 yard per carry back, which is exactly what he is.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't bring much to the field offensively, and we're looking for a lot of depth pieces right now. A guy's looking to make the 53-man roster, looking to do so many things. You need to be able to do just more than block a kick every few years. You know, making a few good special teams every few plays every few weeks. You got to bring more to the field. He's not a good running back, like you were saying. On those draw plays, he doesn't have the burst up the middle. He can't get to the outside. He's a great special teams player. He's not a running back in the NFL. He just can't do it. You know, it's just not. He's going to be taking up a roster spot for the most part because, you know, we have White and Deion Lewis. Looks like they're going to could both make the team. We'll have, you know, maybe Devlin if healthy. If hopefully he's healthy, or maybe, you know, bring back someone like Eric Kitani or another fullback in the mix. LeGarrette Blount, who's going to miss the week one. Jonas Gray. That's five running backs right there alone, not counting Bolden. Bolden being there, six. You can't carry six running backs, and you can't carry a guy when, you know, we have questions about other areas on the team just because he can play good special teams.
I don't get it. But again, he being Bill Belichick, coaches a great football game, and I sit on the couch and drink beer on Sundays watching this. But you got a guy tonight in Brandon Bolden who ran the ball five times for 12 yards. He had a long of nine. Okay, so quick math here. You take that one carry out for 9 yards. He ran it four times for 3 yards. That's terrible. That is absolutely horrible.
I think me and you could do better than that, Jeff.
and my goal in the 40 is to finish.
Yeah, right.
And even Jonas Gray, and I'm going to blame
point.
It. Exactly. And even Jonas Gray, you know, our colleague Sam Pericola absolutely loves Jonas Gray, thinks he's a great running back. Even Jonas Gray, and I'm not going to throw it all on these guys because the offensive line is still working with three rookies in the center there, and Brian Stork's the big guy. But even Jonas Gray, five carries, 11 yards, nine of a long. So, again, doing the math, that's four carries for 2 yards. That's not very good.
No, not at all. You know, up until the end of the game, Brady was the leading rusher for this team on two scrambles. So,
it's 18 yards. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in years from him. But yeah, the offensive line was not performing well. Andrews getting beat up the middle a lot. I mean, Carolina has a very good defense, very overall, you know, Luke Kuechly, Star Lotulelei, Charles Johnson, but I mean, they shouldn't have been getting beaten repeatedly time after time. You got to give, you know, the running backs some type of lay in the try creating something. You got to give Brady and Garoppolo time.
Oh, exactly. Now let's talk a little bit more about this offense, because again, we're missing Stork in the middle. We're missing Ryan Wendell. My guess is that Trey Jackson is going to be the starting right guard come this season when it starts, and I'm okay with him. He's held his own. He's made some decent plays. But still, no Edelman, no Gronkowski. Brandon LaFell is out, and it does hurt with no running game, getting stuck in, you know, deep second and 10, second and 9s. Reggie Wayne was signed earlier this week, had a drop pass tonight, really didn't get much thrown his way. A lot of people are going to sit there and Paul Perillo, you know, basically on Brady's first interception, throw down the field to Aaron Dobson that was intercepted. Should Dobson have come up with that catch? Yes, he had his hands on the ball. But that ball should have been put in front of him. Brady had a bad pass there. I'm going to put this 70-30 on Brady, because the way that Dobson got his hands on that ball, but as he fell down, he was in such a prone position, he could not, his momentum rolling over lost that ball for him. I'm going to put that one on Tom Brady. Dobson came back. Next play, or next series, they throw another interception where the safety just makes a good play. So two bad plays there by Tom Brady. But then, towards the end of the game, we saw what Aaron Dobson can do when he's healthy. He had a beautiful streak down the right sideline and then a beautiful out pattern, which he got both feet in, and a nice throw by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, going back to the two interceptions, the first one was, I think it was, you know, great play by Charles Tillman, regardless of, you know, Brady's fault or Dobson's. You know, a great veteran player like Charles Tillman has been in the league for a while, just making the great play, knowing what to do in that situation. It's probably, I think it might have been 50-50 on each. Brady could have let it more. Probably should have. But I think Dobson really should have held on to that ball. Like you said, the second one was absolutely on Brady. You know, I don't know if he just didn't see the defender, wasn't expecting Dobson to make a play out of the ball. I don't know. But, you know, safety made a great play on that interception. Dobson, you know, was looking, he was looking aggravated in the fourth quarter. You know, had a few passes not go his way when he, on that fourth down when they didn't convert, he was open down the sideline. That play, you know, that set up the Deion Lewis touchdown towards the end when Aaron Dobson did catch that streak down the field. So, I mean, if he can stay healthy, if he can, you know, get a rapport with Brady, he seems like he has one with Garoppolo. He could make this team. And if LaFell is out, like we were just saying, you know, that definitely betters his chances of making the 53-man roster.
Believe me, I would definitely look at that. And they're just showing the replay again on the TV of Aaron Dobson and the Brady pick. That's a tough play, you know. And you're right, just a great play there. Let's move on to the special teams and basically the way that Steven Gostkowski is already in mid-season form. 56-yard field goal in week one, a 53-yarder tonight.
Yeah, he's just insane. You know, he's got the strongest leg in the league, I think. You know, great, actually, the best number one kicker in the league. And when you have, you know, when the offense is struggling like it is right now, hopefully it isn't in the regular season, but, you know, that pays off to have a guy who can, you know, if he can get the ball to the 35, to the 40-yard line, you know, he can get it in there and just get some points for you, even on a bad drive.
Yeah, he's got nails. That guy is nails. Danny Amendola, he came on. Yeah, incredible, huh? That's we're talking about Steven Gostkowski here on the Patriots post-game show. 929-477-2386 is the number, toll-free, that you can call every single week as we are live after every single Patriots post-game show. You can also follow the Patriots Beat podcast, which I tend to host, which will broadcast every single Thursday morning throughout the regular season as we bring you more Patriots coverage here on CLNS Radio. Don't forget to follow CLNS Radio on Facebook, www.facebook.com/CLNSfans, and www.twitter.com/ CLNS Radio. That's at CLNS Radio. And, of course, you can follow myself at Boston Fat Guy. And, Bill, why don't you throw out your Twitter handle right now?
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at BBodell14.
He's a pretty smart guy, BBodell14. Not only is he on the Patriots postgame show with me, he also does some writing for CLNS Radio, as well as the GoalLineGazette.com, our good friend Rod, and Pat's Gazette. They do a good job over there. So you can find him either place. So check us out as you keep going. But one of the guys that I want to talk about tonight, one of the guys that came on strong at the end of last year was Danny Amendola. I've been on record saying the Patriots do not win the Super Bowl without the
contributions.
Without contributions, Jesus. You know, and I didn't even have any beers tonight. The contributions of Danny Amendola last year. Yeah, I should probably start drinking. I could probably talk better. Another beautiful play tonight by Danny Amendola up the seam on the 2-minute drill. Just a beautiful, beautiful play by him. This is the guy I'm expecting a lot out of this year. Being able to play the slot receiver as well as the X receiver. I'm looking forward to seeing Danny Amendola continue to develop in this offense.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. You know, he had a great postseason last year, and I agree. They probably would not have won the Super Bowl if it wasn't for Amendola. You know, before the postseason, I didn't think he had a guaranteed roster spot, or didn't think he'd make the team for this upcoming year. That, you know, he had three touchdowns during the postseason. Of course, the one from Edelman really just made plays throughout the whole postseason. Really solidified himself on this team. You know, got in a good chemistry with Brady. And, you know, just like that play and that the seam over the middle, you know, just knowing where Brady wants the ball to be, knowing just getting open on the 2-minute drill where he has that chemistry with Brady, what these other guys don't have. They had Reggie Wayne out there, Dobson, who hasn't played too much with Brady in the past few years due to injury. Scott Chandler, who's new and has been out. So having him out there with Brady was good for the offense and knowing. And Amendola knowing where he needed to be, you know, just helping himself make plays.
Now, Rob Gronkowski held out again tonight, probably precautionary. You know, no need to have Rob Gronkowski get injured in the preseason. We know exactly what a healthy Rob Gronkowski means to this team. But set this up right now. You start the regular season September 10th against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, big week this week with Tom Brady and the NFL. Monday, both Tom Brady and Roger Goodell have to appear in court. If Brady's suspension is upheld, you have Jimmy Garoppolo coming in and starting the first four games. If Brady's suspension is vacated, then it's Tom Brady and this team. Now, week one, you have a lineup. Rob Gronkowski, Scott Chandler, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and your running back, DeJure. I'm going to say, you know, Deion Lewis right now. Do you feel comfortable with that offense?
Oh, you know, I absolutely do. You know, obviously would love to have Brady behind center way more than Garoppolo, but, you know, with Edelman and Gronkowski up there, I feel like they're one of the best, you know, wide receiving duos out there, even though, you know, Gronk's a tight end, but he's putting him in that category. Those two together are just really unstoppable for the most part. There's defensive killers, you know. Gronkowski's a matchup nightmare, being 6'6" with speed, great hands, and then Edelman's just a tough little guy who just goes, gets hit, can go up against anybody in the league, great agility, everything like that. I feel, you know, so I feel I would be comfortable with them back there. With Chandler, you know, another guy who's killed New England the past few years, you know, it'd be a great red zone target. You know, not many teams have the capabilities of stopping two guys who are 6'6" and 6'7", you know, then having guys like Amendola and Edelman being able to cross the middle. It would be really tough for teams. And then having, you know, Deion Lewis, if he can continue to show how he has, you know, going out the outside, catching screens, going up the middle on draws, I feel he'll just be able to spread the field out well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that play to Chandler tonight reminded me an awful lot of the play to Rob Gronkowski in the Super Bowl where he was lined up to the outside.
Oh, I was just thinking the exact same thing. I thought the exact same thing for the same.
Right from snap number one. But you set it up right now. You know, New England Patriots fans, ever since Randy Moss was here, have always been talking about deep threats and this and that, you know, needing a big wide receiver. You put the 6 foot six Rob Gronkowski and the 6 foot seven Scott Chandler on the outsides with your little midgets. What did Tom Brady call them? The pygmies? I think he called them a couple of years ago. The pygmies. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think
it's a little.
Oh yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah.
But you got number 88 Amendola and number 11 Julian Edelman doing your underneath stuff, and you got these two guys out wide. And when Brandon LaFell is healthy, you know that's a pretty rough team to try to go up against. And I still have high hopes for Aaron Dobson. So let's talk a little bit more about this team, especially Brandon LaFell, because now we're 13 days away from kickoff. He's still on the PUP list.
Yeah, he still hasn't been able to practice yet, coming off that off-season foot injury. I think it was foot surgery. You know, he was in the walking boot up until training camp, the beginning of training camp. So, but the way it looks, I doubt he'll be on the field opening night. Most likely going to look like he's going to miss the first 6 weeks if they place him on the PUP list. So we'll need guys to step up. Hopefully Aaron Dobson can continue. Had a pretty strong performance tonight in the second half with Garoppolo. Reggie Wayne hopefully can come in, learn the system. You know, get that chemistry with Brady or Garoppolo, get in there. And then, you know, Chandler and Gronkowski will definitely be, like I said, matchup nightmares for team. Definitely separate some things. You know, those guys can take double coverage, which will open the field up for Edelman, Amendola, Deion Lewis. You know, maybe Chris Harper if he's the guy who makes the team. Reggie Wayne, So that just changes a lot of things having those guys out there. Hopefully, you know, would love to have LaFell out there. I think he played great last year. Had over 900 yards, I believe 72 catches. So, you know, big part of the offense. And, you know, tonight when people talk about Brady, and even this all preseason, people talk about Brady's struggles. You know, he's out there with a backup offensive line. He's missing really his first, really his top four targets from last season. Not out there right now with LaFell injured, Edelman and Gronk not playing, and Shane Vereen in New York. So he's really throwing guys to guys who really don't have. He doesn't have too much chemistry with the guys who are getting blown by on the offensive line.
Oh, exactly. We're going to take a minute here, take a quick break, and hear from our sponsor.
Cruise back to the 80s on the first ever 80s cruise. That's right. 7 days of the most radical party to ever hit the high seas with a totally awesome lineup of artists that define the sound of the decade. Join Huey Lewis and the News, Richard Marx, Starship, Cool and the Gang, A Flock of Seagulls, Modern English, Naked Eyes, Tiffany, Wang Chung, and Jessie's Girl, the ultimate 80s party band, and the original MTV VJs, Nina Blackwood, Mark Goodman, and Alan Hunter. As we cruise to exotic ports of call like Grand Turk, San Juan, St. Thomas, and the private island of Half Moon Cay, we're going all out by building an 80s video game arcade with Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, and of course Pac-Man, showing movies like Ferris Bueller and Pretty in Pink, and there'll even be a VJ contest. Don't forget to pack your best 80s looks because we're having a prom night, a movie costume party, pajama party, and neon beach party. You can't miss this. Sailing from February 28th through March 6th, 2016 for the most gnarly vacation ever. For more information, log on to the80scruise.com or call 844-384-8080.
And welcome back to the Patriots postgame show here on CLNS Radio and CLNSRadio.com. I, of course, am your host, Jeff Kane, and you can find me and my co-host after every single Patriots game for the rest of the season, calling number 929-477-2386 after every single Patriots game as we keep moving on. Before we get back talking about the game tonight, which, you know what, it's preseason. Little bit of a stinker. I want to talk about a wonderful thing that's out right now. Listen, Patriots fans, we all hate Roger Goodell. I can't think of anything that I hate more than the Ginger Boy. Well, certain guy has come out with a beautiful website, squishthecommish.com. Unbelievable. T-shirts out there. There's the Squish the Commish shirt. There's the free Tom Brady shirt. There's no good in Goodell shirt. And the Roger this. I love that one. It's Roger this. And there's four Super Bowl champion banners hanging up there. Gotta love it. Go to squishthecommish.com and purchase your T-shirt today. Support your New England Patriots. Hey, Pats fans, support your quarterback. And here's the best part about all of this. All the proceeds for every T-shirt sold go to Best Buddies. And if you don't know what Best Buddies is, it's Tom Brady's charity du jour. It's a great thing. They do the Best Buddies bike ride every single year. It is a great charity. Again, go to squishthecommish.com and purchase your T-shirt today. And also, I'd like to thank that 80s Cruise for being one of our sponsors here on the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. Phil, you probably weren't even born in the 80s. And I'm ready to put on my Zubo. I'm ready to put on my one leather glove and my moonwalk shoes and my parachute pants and go dancing.
A little bit before my time, Jeff.
Yeah, unfortunately, not before mine. Again, here we sit on the Patriots postgame show. New England Patriots improve to 2-1. With a 17-16 victory over the Carolina Panthers in Carolina tonight, or in North Carolina, I believe is where the Panthers are housed. So, Patriots, again, Tom Brady didn't look great until the two-minute drive. And I want to know right now, Bill, what do you think about this? Because in my mind, Monday is weighing a little bit on Tom Brady. He has looked sharp in practice, but when he's out there on the field, listen, the man is only human. I know he looks like a robot sometimes when he's out there playing, just, you know, firing missiles and lasers. But he's got to be sitting there, you know, thinking it's the preseason here. I'm out here. He's trying to get his reps in. And he could be sitting there going, I might not play until, you know, week six after our bye, or week five, week six after our bye against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I'm sure it's affecting him mentally out there a little bit. I mean, it's affecting me mentally every day, so I'm sure it has to be affecting him. Yeah, he definitely just trying to think, he's just probably just trying to stay focused as much as he can, but definitely has to be sitting in the back of his mind that, you know, this is my team. You know, this is the team I've led to the Super Bowl six times. I've led to, I don't even remember, what, 10, 11, 12 AFC championship games, you know, that, you know, in
feels like
the leagues. Yeah, you know, the team, the NFL is trying. Seems like it's out to get him. You know, they're not trying to help him out in any way. They're out to, you know, just ruin his legacy, ruin everything that he's worked so hard for. So I really think he has to be focused on this, because this is, I mean, just so much to him. I don't even just being out there with his team, you know, and just working on going out there to get another quest for another ring, quest for five.
The drive for five, right? I think we can get there. I'm pretty excited about it. Listen, three games into the preseason now, anything that's really stood out to you as a concern?
Concern. I mean, you know, the offensive line play hasn't been well. You know, of course, you know, it's been with backups and guys who've been filling in due to injuries. But, you know, that's something that definitely needs to improve, whether it be, you know, we do have guys who could potentially start out there right now with Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason. So even with them getting beat on occasion, something, you know, something they need to, you know, they just definitely don't, definitely, you know, need to improve, need strong play out of them, you know, potentially Andrews out there, who's playing for an injured work as of right now. So just an offensive line as a whole, I just think this needs to improve,
line.
Play better.
Yeah, and I think they will. And I think once you get Brian Stork in there, you know, anchoring that line like he did last year, and you get Ryan Wendell back, which is a good sign, him coming back and practicing this week, coming off the PUP list, I don't think there's going to be an issue here. It's very hard to start, you know, three rookies inside there. And especially, you know, Dave Andrews, the center out of Georgia, who is having a pretty good camp, and I expect him to make this team. But this is an undrafted rookie free agent. And then you have a guy like Shaq Mason, who, of course, played in the triple option offense down at Georgia Tech. He's still learning the ropes of, you know, basically playing, you know, the guard in the NFL level and learning how to pass block. Trey Jackson, to me, almost looks like a finished product. So, best bet in my scenario is Stork coming back, Wendell playing left guard and then having Trey Jackson work his way his rookie year in at right guard, and then having Shaq Mason work in practice, continue to make his plays. And this is a guy that can come in a pinch, can come in and when they need short yardage situations, and start to learn a little bit more about being an NFL guard.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like you were saying, went to Georgia Tech where they run the ball, you know, 40, 50 times a game. Passing offense is primarily non-existent. So it's something he definitely needs some, you know, he's definitely still learning right now, is really how to be a pass blocker. Belichick said it when after him being drafted, you know, he's probably the best run blocking guard or offensive lineman in the whole draft. But, you know, he's probably one of the lower levels at pass blocking just because of the inexperience he has at it. So, you know, he definitely needs to improve on that. Jackson, I agree, also looks like pretty much a finished product. You know, Patriots have had success with linemen out of Florida State the past few years with, you know, Stork last year than other guys. Just not even for the Patriots, just with other teams who have been playing well.
Oh, definitely.
And, that's someone who Dante Scarnecchia was high on and was at the camp for Florida State this year, so he was a long-time coach, offensive line coach for the Patriots, so they definitely have a lot of faith in him, I feel.
Oh, I agree with you completely there. Concerns for me, the running backs, at least running the ball, the big backs, Jonas Gray, LeGarrette Blount, outside of that one big run, week one against the Packers by Jonas Gray, they haven't shown me much here. And, of course, you can't run where there's not space, but still, a little too much dance in it, in my opinion. On the fourth and third and two, I believe it was, or fourth and two, they did a pitch out to Jonas Gray to try to pick it up. And that's not a run that Jonas Gray should be running. I mean, you're running with Jonas Gray. You're running with LeGarrette Blount. You run downhill. You don't pitch out. And it's unfortunate to see that they still are having an issue getting solid run blocking right now. And again, we're running with three rookie offensive tackles. It's still interior offensive linemen. It's still early in the preseason. You know, these players haven't got in there. There's still a lot of time to go, but the running backs, at least running the ball, have really concerned me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. Like you said, a pitch out to Jonas Gray. It's not his run. He's, you know, he's a big guy. He's like, all right, I think around 220. LeGarrette Blount's 250. Those aren't guys. They're not going to beat you with their speed, with their quickness off the edge. There are guys who are running up the middle. They're going to run over you and, you know, make you and drag you off for a few yards while you're on their backs and, you know, while you're struggling, take a few guys to bring them down. Those are their situations. As you need 1 or 2 yards, you hit them. You hit it with them right up the middle. You don't throw it to them on the outside and, you know, try making them beat their way, you know, to the first down marker. They're not going to get there. That's someone, you know, if you want to do that, you do that with a Deion Lewis or a James White, guys who are quick, have that shiftiness, who can, you know, pure edge quickness, not, you know, Blount's 250. He's bigger than, you know, some linebackers out there. You know, he's not going to get to the outside, and same with Jonas Gray.
Let's talk about a little some of the bright spots out there for you. What are you looking at as the 2015 Patriots are a mere 13 days away from kicking off against the Pittsburgh Steelers on September 10th. What are you looking apart as some of your bright spots to this team?
Well, bright spots, I mean, like guys who have been playing well so far in preseason, who I think, you know, make a name for themselves, are looking into the season part, you know, who I'm really excited for. I mean, looking into the season, you know, I'm excited to see how. Looking into the season, I'm excited, you know, excited, of course, to see how Malcolm Butler plays. You know, he hasn't gotten thrown at too much, but he's been playing great so far in preseason. So I still, you know, still want to see if he can be that number one cornerback that, you know, that we're looking to have for our team. You know, looking forward to seeing the two big tight ends out there in Scott Chandler and Rob Gronkowski, because like we were saying, that could be just a defensive matchup nightmare for teams. You know, Jordan Richards, I think, has played well. And then, of course, just this front seven, I think, is one of the best front sevens in the league. You know, Chandler Jones, I love him. I've said it before. I think he's going to have a very good year with Jabal Sheard taking some of his reps away and Rob Ninkovic. Got two guys who've been playing the past few years up in that upper echelon of, you know, 98-99% of the team snaps, which is leading the league. You know, Jerod Mayo can stay healthy. I feel like he'll be, you know, very good for this team. Again, he get into his old form. You know, and then the two stud, you know, two key players who have been playing great, Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, guys who could be all pros and pro bowlers for the next, you know, 5-10 years. So, you know, those are the few bright spots, I think, for this team.
Yeah, if I'm looking at bright spots right now, one of the big things that I'm really looking at is the fact that Dante Hightower and Jerod Mayo were both on the field making plays tonight. Both of these guys going into camp, before camp even started, there was talk that both of them would start out on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. And they both started the preseason, the training camp, out ready to go. Dante Hightower did have the red non-contact jersey in. But now, in the preseason, in the season dress rehearsal, the third preseason game, both of them are out there, both of them are playing, and both of them are making plays. That excites me a lot. You brought up Chandler Jones. One thing I want to say about Chandler Jones, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Bill, or not, but I seem to think that Chandler Jones seems to be a little more bigger up top. You know, he seems to have bulked up a little bit, built a little more size, and he's not just trying to beat you with speed now. He's able to kind of help set the edge on the running game. So I like what I'm seeing out of Chandler Jones, and you brought up Jabal Sheard. I love this guy. I love what he has brought to this team. So I'm looking at those as some pretty good bright spots moving into the season opener on September 10th against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chandler Jones has gotten a little bit bigger up top. You know, looks like he can go more through you now than in past years have trying to go around you, around that left tackle. You know, he had that a few plays where he was lined up inside tonight. You know, I don't expect to see that too often, but you know, we can get that inside pass rush that have Sheard, Ninkovich, or Flowers on the outside. You know, definitely just closes the pocket in on the quarterbacks, makes it harder for them to throw, doesn't give them the time. So, you know, so that just feels that's good. I do agree. I think he's you know, played well against the run this year. I had a few times where he's really set the tone on the edge, and you know, how to make guys try cutting back or just making great stops and you know, just on the edge, not allowing teams to run the ball on the outside.
Now Monday is the first cut down to 75 players. Who would be a surprise player that you could see being cut on Monday?
In the 75, I think Dak Swanson's had a few good games the past few weeks, but I don't think he would make the 53-man roster. I think James Moores has played great the past few weeks and played well. I wouldn't expect to see him cut. Maybe Jonathan Feeney would be a surprise cut just for the depth purposes of maybe not wanting to play Hightower or a Mayo in the next few weeks. And maybe Kraus. He's gotten some – the wide receiver, he's gotten some good looks the past few weeks, and – you know, with the big depth concern right now with all the injuries, I feel like he's been stepping up and playing well, just like Chris Harper has.
What are your thoughts on a guy like Josh Boyce? Because I think he is among the first cuts. Second game in a row, he has not seen the field after that first game where he looked absolutely horrible. I could definitely see him being cut. Another guy that I could see being cut, and it might come as a surprise to you, but with what they've brought in here with Cleveland and now this new guy, Matt Williams, is the Who Man. I can see the Who Man getting cut.
Yeah, I think Boyce is as good as gone. You know, he should just go pack his bags right now, I feel. And then, yeah, Who Man is potential. You know, they do love him for his blocking, but you know, which could be needed as of right now with the way the offensive line's played. But, yeah, you know, trading for a guy like Cleveland, can't remember the other guy they have, big guy, name game.
Mundane.
Jermaine Mundane. You know, both of those guys have gotten some good work right now in the beginning of camp. Bouquet was just placed in the IR today, so that's another tight end gone. But, yeah, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise to me to see Who Man cut. Love the Who Man, but, you know, I feel like he's more of a one-dimensional player. He did have that one reception tonight, but I feel like just his blocking alone might not be enough for him to make the team where they have, you know, talent and needs at other places on the roster.
Exactly. Especially with the fact that he's basically a third tight end now, making some pretty decent money. I could see Who Man getting cut. And the reason I say Who Man getting cut in the 75-man cut down instead of that
final cut down to 53. We've seen Belichick do it in the past where he will cut a player, you know, who is a veteran player on that first round of cuts, so it gives him more time to pick himself up and sign with another team before the regular season begins.
Yeah, I remember he did that with Tommy Kelly a year or two ago. He's done it a few other times just in the past, so I feel like he's, you know, Belichick, you know, maybe he's not as bad of a guy as some people may seem. You know, definitely have a good relationship with Hooman. As you can tell, everyone loves Hooman. He just kind of, you know, the name itself just speaks. But, yeah, I feel like he could do that, you know, just give him a few, a little bit of room. You know, there's definitely some tight end needy teams in the league, so and he could be a good fit somewhere.
Oh, exactly. You know, one guy that I really want to talk about is second-round pick Jordan Richards. He continues to show up around the ball, continues to do some nice things. Was, you know, according to the draft professionals out there, a little bit of a reach, but it looks like Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio really hit on a player that can make some plays this season and going forward.
Yeah, you know, wherever you see the ball, Jordan Richards isn't far behind. He's, you know, coming up, making big plays in the run, showing good coverage help over the top in zone situations, and just being, you know, being the safety over the top. I even saw him lined up and looked like in man coverage off the line of scrimmage a few times tonight. So, you know, definitely looks like a guy that, you know, playing well for New England, was a captain for Stanford, and, you know, they called him Coach Richards, they said there. So definitely a smart guy, definitely the type of players that Belichick loves. So he's been playing well, you know, you always just see him, you know, he's been playing mostly in the second half, you know, against some of the under echelon guys, but, you know, he's all around the field. You know, wherever the ball is, he's not too far behind, always making tackles and making plays on defense and special teams.
Exactly. Now, Bill, we have a caller in coming here from the 434. We're going to bring you online right now. 434, you're live with the Patriots postgame show. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Who are we speaking with?
My name's Carr.
How you doing, my friend? What's on your mind tonight?
I was just scrolling down, searched Aaron Dobson, seeing what Pat's Nation thought about his performance tonight. So you tweet the call in, so decided to give it a whirl.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the phone call. What are your thoughts on Aaron Dobson tonight?
Man, I've been waiting on this kid. You know, this is his third year. I understand last year he was, you know, injured. But, I mean, it's your third year, kid. You know, show us something. Because, you know, I think seriously he may be in danger of getting cut.
It's a possibility that he could be cut.
I mean, he had the big catch tonight, but I don't know.
Now, this is a guy in Aaron Dobson who his rookie year had 37 receptions for over 500 yards. I don't think the Patriots would cut him right now. His biggest issue, of course, is health. You know, last year basically lost the entire season, you know, with only four catches. And this preseason really looked good the first week and a half of camp before he came up with that hamstring injury. I thought it was very important to see him on the field tonight in preseason week number three. You know, he might have been able to come up with that ball that was intercepted. But in the second half, he looked a little better. Right now, I'm thinking that he still has a spot on this team, and especially with Brandon LaFell still on the pup list, this could be reversed from last year when Dobson was on the pup list before they took him off on August 17th. So I'm still holding out hope. I'm a huge Aaron Dobson fan. I really think he could develop into something good, but he's got to stay on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. I see some sort of potential there, but like I said, the drops is really, really kills me. Like, I see him drop the ball too much. Like the first interception Brady threw, I thought he could have, you know, held on to that, but at the same time, I thought the refs kind of screwed us over at the same time.
Yeah, that's one of those things I look at it. I spoke about it earlier in the post-game show here on CLNS Radio about that play. I mean, I put it on a little more on Tom Brady as I did on Aaron Dobson because the ball was a little bit behind him. I thought it was a great play by the Panthers cornerback. and I thought it was a tough catch for Dobson to make. He got his hands on it, and when you get your hands on it, you should catch that ball. But the issue that I saw was that the momentum really took his positioning off, and I think it was the momentum that had him lose that ball more than it was, you know, his hands.
That makes sense. You happen to see what happened to James Devlin? Think the leg injury that bad? Or
looked pretty bad. I mean, anytime you see a cart come out, that's not good. You know, Christian Fourier on the broadcast tonight, you know, he looked at it and said it looked like when the Panthers linebacker ran into him at the end, that was the injury. Looking over it again and again on TV, I think that ankle broke in the turf, and insult to injury was I think the – and you listen, we know the Patriots, they're not going to come out and say anything, but looking at the way that ankle bent, to me, that's a broken tibia, broken ankle, something there.
Yeah, it looked like Devlin was in a lot of pain, you know, when he had his helmet off, going on the cart, leaving the field. I agree with you, Jeff. I remember we were talking about that, you know, as it was happening. It looked like when he was being pulled by the defender during the tackle, it looked like his leg just, you know, was just stuck in the turf or there. Just snapped that wrong way. It looks like he was, you know, definitely could be a broken ankle. Hope for the best for him, but definitely does not look good for him right now.
Think that'll open a spot for maybe Hooman, because I think he might be on his way out. I don't think he's going to survive final cuts either.
Potentially could. I think we did talk about. Yeah, I think Hooman has played some tight end in the past. I think he was during his stint with St. Louis before. I think he was primarily a fullback there. I know he's played some fullback here in, you know, certain situations. So, you know, that definitely could give him some potential to make, you know, definitely could give potentially make him more, you know, able to make the team than, you know, before the injury.
Yeah, that's true. I think he's a far better blocker than he is a pass catching tight end. I mean, I've seen him make some pretty good catches, but I think he's just a far superior blocker than he is a catcher.
I think you are 100% right there. And it makes me wonder now with the two trades that they've made for tight ends in bringing in Asante Cleveland from the San Francisco 49ers and the tight end tackle that they just grabbed from the Lions in Williams. If either one of them could make a move to be, a fullback. Maybe not Williams as much because, you know, he's almost 300 pounds. But I see a guy like Asante Cleveland coming out of the U who, you know, has some good blocking ability. That's a guy who I could also see stepping into that fullback role should James Devlin be lost for, any amount of time heading into the season.
That sounds pretty good to me.
We appreciate you calling in here on the CLNS Radio post-game show. We hope you listen again and call in anytime you'd like.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Have a great night, my friend.
All right. You too.
Always great when the callers call in and we get a little pulse on the Patriots Nation as we talk here on the CLNS Radio post-game show. That is actually going to wrap it up for us tonight. I've been your host, Jeff Kane, with Bill Bodell. You can always follow CLNS Radio online at CLNS Radio on Twitter, www.clnsfans, that's www.facebook.com/clnsfans. And, of course, after every single Patriots game, 927-477-2386, for the Patriots postgame show. That's toll free. You can call in. It doesn't cost you a dime. Look forward this week to Patriots Beat Podcast with myself and Bobby Krivitsky as we continue to talk the New England Patriots and their drive for five. Bill, thank you again for coming on the Patriots postgame show, and we appreciate everyone's listening. And, of course, the next Patriots postgame show will be Thursday night after the preseason final between the Patriots and the New York Giants. and you get the A-team, myself and Patrick Schankauer will be on Thursday night after the game. Again, for Bill Bodell, I'm Jeff Kane, and this has been CLNS Radio's Patriots Postgame Show.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.